Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Do you believe in God? What's that song? If God was one of us. Isn't that that song? Yeah. Just a what, like on one of us? A frog like one of us. Yeah. Okay. Slab like one of us. Do you believe in God? Anyway, we like to ask the big questions here on Nighttime Talk. And this is, I suppose, a philosophical question. And I can't think of a bigger one, to be honest with you. Do you believe in God? It may be one of the oldest questions in existence. Since mankind began, we have asked, why are we here? Where do we come from? And where are we going? And who's responsible for all of this? Our greatest wars have been fought over this question. When it comes to people and their faith, we get very protective. Some of us do, certainly. And it makes sense that they would. Life is scary when we lose loved ones. It's awful. It's heartbreaking. It makes us feel vulnerable and reminds us that life is fragile. So, if I tell you a story that makes it all make sense and the story alleviates some of your pain, you'll want to hold on to that story, wouldn't you? And that story is belief. A belief in a higher power, a belief in somewhere nice people go when they die. Heaven, or wherever it happens to be, whatever religion you happen to be. At all costs. So what story do you believe? Is God a big man in the sky with a beard and a fork in his hand sitting on a big chair? Or are we reincarnated? Maybe you think it's all a fairy tale and religion brings us more harm than it's worth. We won't get to the bottom of the question tonight. We never will. As I said, it is a question that's as old as time itself. But I'm curious what you do think as we approach what is supposed to be the birth of Christ, but it's not really the birth of Christ, because according to historians who study the Bible, Christ was actually born in June or July. Remember, of course, the 25th of December is the same date that every pagan god was born, allegedly. They were all born on the same day. They all died, came back 3 days later. They all had 12 apostles. Well, most of them. They all had a virgin birth. The story of Christianity and the story of Jesus Christ has been used many times before, long before Jesus Christ came along. The virgin birth, the 12 apostles, died and came back 3 days later, born on Christmas Day, with Christmas Day being the 25th of December. There was pagan gods that were around that had exactly the same story. Sure, even the god of Krishna has the same story. Born on the 25th of December, born of a virgin birth, 12 apostles, and died and came back 3 days later. So which religion are you, and do you believe in a god? Christianity? Islam? Judaism? Hinduism? Buddhism? I mean, which religion are you? I mean, the concept of God is an interesting concept. But do you believe in it? Now, there is nobody in this world can deny the existence of a god. Just like nobody in the world can prove an existence of God. It's one of those questions, isn't it? It's like many years ago, somebody took a psychic to court and said they conned them out of money because they weren't a real psychic. But the courts couldn't do anything because they can't prove that someone's a psychic and they can't prove somebody's not a psychic. I personally believe that most psychics are charlatans. But that doesn't make any difference because I can't prove it. Well, I suppose I could put a little test on them, but they wouldn't be willing to take it. I could put it right down a number in an envelope and close it and say, what's in the envelope? So, psychic, I'm going to open it in 5 minutes. Tell me what's going to happen in 5 minutes' time. If they're incapable of doing that, they're hardly incapable of telling you what's going to happen in 10 years' time. So anyway, the question is, do you believe in God or a higher power? It doesn't have to be the Christian God, by the way, the one with the beard and sitting on the chair. It can be any God. It can be Allah. It can be any God. Do you believe in God? And why do you believe in God? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Let me go to Tom. Tom, hi, how are you?
Hello, sir. How are you?
Good. Tom, do you believe in God?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
No? Okay. And what kind of turned you off the idea?
Well, I suppose I did a bit of reading. I was like a typical West of Ireland Catholic for 28, 30 years, just believed it blindly, didn't question it. Then I decided to buy some books and say, right, is this real? And none of it made any sense once you question it. Mm. There's no evidence whatsoever. It doesn't stand up to the most basic standards of questioning or evidence. it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, people who are religious will tell you there's evidence all around you. They'll argue, look at the mountains, look at the rivers, look at the sea, look at the beautiful trees and the sunshine. That's the evidence they'll give you. They say it's all around you. God did all that.
The problem with that is, you see, it's not evidence, it's a claim. And there's a huge difference between a claim and providing evidence for that claim. We can explain all of these things in the natural world. Everything that we have found out since the scientific age, let's say 400 years ago, everything we have found out about the universe, the cosmos, our place in it, has had a natural explanation. We can explain it using science and evidence.
But by the way, Tom, I completely agree with you, but I'm just giving you the counter-arguments. A lot of people give the counter-argument that, you know, a lot of what we talk about in science is hypothesis. It's based on a theory. So, you know, when we talk about a star that's a million zillion light years away or whatever or another universe, we're only hypothesizing. We don't know for sure. Because some of them we can visibly see with the best telescopes in the world.
Yeah.
But some of them we can't. We you know, when we talk about black holes, these are theories. When we talk about, you know, how long the planet has been here, again, it's a theory. We're kind of guesstimating roughly. Now, certainly, according to the Christians, you know, human beings are only here 6,000 years. That couldn't be true, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that couldn't be true.
No, no. I mean, maybe this round could be here 6,000 years, but the scientists now speculate that we have become extinct almost on four different occasions. Yeah,
I'd believe that. But a hypothesis basically is an explanation for what we see as evidence. We come up with a theory, and it best explains what we see. And I think that's factual, or that's evidence-based, whereas if you go with the God...
It's based on faith,
It makes no sense. You can explain Christianity in three words: God did it. But the problem with that is we have zero evidence for that. You might as well be saying that the Easter Bunny did it or Puff the Magic Dragon did it. You have zero evidence. You have zero evidence to support that. And I think this is the 21st century. This is the information age, the technological age. We've never been so advanced. We require evidence to explain stuff now. And I think young people they're all on board with that. So you will not find a 15 to 28-year-old who...
whose parents instill that.
But they are all evidence-based. They all have smartphones and they all are able to use Google. And none of the...
See, when we were kids, when I was 14 or 15, you didn't, you know, in front of my father particularly, you didn't dare question God. Whereas nowadays, our kids, most of them, I know my kids, for example, the word God was never mentioned in our house, ever. They don't believe in God.
They question it and they reject it because it doesn't make any sense. And like I said, everything we found out about the world has a natural explanation, a supernatural explanation. Well, the supernatural actually has never, ever been demonstrated. It's never, ever been demonstrated. It's not evidence-based. It's belief or faith-based. And I mean, there is no position you cannot take using faith. You can believe absolutely anything using faith.
Mm-hmm. No, you can't. I've often said to people, there's as much evidence Spider-Man exists as there is God exists.
Oh, absolutely.
Dawkins, who was one of the most famous atheists in the world, did say at one stage, and I'm paraphrasing, he did say that you couldn't rule out the existence of God.
But you can't rule out the existence of the Tooth Fairy or the Easter Bunny either. You cannot disprove a negative claim. Mm. It's impossible to prove that there isn't this flying spaghetti monster behind Planet Zog. But I mean, you're not going to spend a lot of time thinking that he's real because you have no evidence to believe it.
Mm.
But the way I see God is, if he was the one true master of the universe, creator of everything, why are there 5,000 gods that various people have believed throughout the millennia?
Well, the God you believe in is based geographically on where you're born.
Geographically and historically, if you were born during the Greek Empire, you'd be praying to Poseidon or Thor, and if you were born when the Vikings were in charge, you'd be praying to Thor or Odin, or the Greek Empire, you'd be praying to the planet gods like Saturn or Venus.
Okay, what about the Bible, the story of Jesus Christ? Do you believe it's true or do you believe it's fiction?
I believe 50% of it is true. There's good historical evidence to say that he actually existed. He was.
Is there?
Priest,
because I watched a documentary one night where there was 19 historians in that area of the Middle East, seemingly. I'm not much up on that whole thing. But none of them even heard of him.
Yeah. But let's say he did exist. He was a preacher, but I mean, preachers were two of them.
Ten a penny, yeah. Prophets, as they call them, yeah.
Prophets, 2,000 years ago. But if I've done a little bit of research, I'm no expert by any stretch of the mind, but Jesus wasn't a Christian. He did not follow his own teachings. He couldn't have, because Christianity wasn't invented until 400 years after he existed. Emperor Constantine in Rome made it the mandatory religion of the Roman Empire, and if you didn't believe it, he crucified you or hanged you. That's the easiest way to get everyone
to believe. Absolutely. When we talk about prophets, I suppose a modern day version for those who don't understand is influencers. So prophets.
Except they are definitely real.
Yeah, it's amazing the way young people treat them as gods. Do you know what I mean? So because they're influencers or they have some sort of power over people.
Absolutely. But Jesus existed. He was, let's say, he was a decent moral man who preached love and understanding and tolerance and acceptance. But then they started adding stuff on, that he walked on water, that he turned water into wine, that he fed a bunch of people.
Well, I suppose they could be Chinese whispers. I mean, people do turn water and grapes into wine.
And then the biggest bullshit of it all was then that he died for our sins, which ties us into that silly belief for the rest of your life.
In other words, you can have to believe him and out of guilt, I suppose, because you feel sorry for him. Yeah, okay, well, stay there for a second, because I want to bring Louis in. Or is it Louise? Louis, I think, is it?
Yep,
Louis. Louis, hi, how are you doing? You do believe in God?
Brand. I do.
Okay, so you heard all the arguments from Tom against the belief in God. I mean, firstly, I said he's saying there's no evidence of it. So what makes people want to believe in God? Is it faith or is it hope?
Hope, I believe, would be a good deal of it. Forgiveness from sin, which Tom doesn't believe in, would be another bit of it. The authority of the Bible is what counts, because what else do we have? And I myself have experienced quite a lot of suffering in my life. Historically, my paternal grandfather murdered my young uncle.
Oh, my.
Number one. Number two, my parents divorced in the 70s, and number three, in 1994, I had a stillbirth. Now, I'm so sorry
you had a tough time of it. Yeah.
But through that, God has held our family together through thick and thin. It's not always been easy, I can tell you that, but it's still held together. I was talking to my mother today. It's a wonder that any of us didn't become either drug addicts or alcoholics. We all became Christians in a different kind of way to each other. But that's the hope, and that's the shape.
When you say God held you together, was it not just your own goodwill and your own resilience that held you together? Because I've been through tough times in my life, Louis, as well. I've had people die. I went through a divorce, you know, all those kind of things. You know, and I don't believe in a God, but I got through it. I had some rocky moments. I had a moment which I've spoke about openly and publicly in the newspaper and also television one night where I stood in Howth Head and was going to finish it all off. But thankfully I didn't. You know, because I have some good support. I have a beautiful wife now who I met just after that period. So what I'm saying to you is resilience can get you through it as well. I mean, why give God the credit when you're probably good people?
Because God loves us. God died for us, and God resurrected Jesus for us. That's our hope. And, you know, You likened earlier on in your conversation before you brought on Tom and myself about all the gods were born on the same day and all the rest of it. But there's only one God that died for our sin, and that's Jesus. None of the others have an answer.
But you're only saying that because you've been told that. You don't know that.
Well, the Bible says it, and I believe the Bible.
See, what we're trying to do is establish, it's a philosophical question, I understand that, because none of us will ever get to the bottom of it. We'll still be asking the question at the end of the show, right? But because the Bible says it, like, for example, because Tom doesn't believe in God or doesn't really believe the full story of Jesus Christ, I'm assuming he doesn't believe the Bible and believes that most of it is fiction. So we've no way of proving the Bible is not fiction.
Well, it's been, I mean, even Josephus, the Jewish historian, gave credence to the existence of Christ, number one. It stood the test of time, you know.
Was that story not debunked, Louis, in relation to the fact, wasn't there some threat from Pontius Pilate or something at the time? Was that story not proven to be untrue about Josephus?
What threat was that?
I remember, I don't know the story, so I'm not even going to try and quote it all, but I vaguely remember reading something many years ago about Josephus, and that there was something to do with a threat from Pontius Pilate, that if he didn't say that, that, or something like, I can't remember, or some, it could have been some other king at the time, that if he didn't say that, that he would have been sentenced to death. That's only what I read.
Interesting, but I don't know. I haven't heard that.
Because there were other historians in and around that time in the Middle East, the same area, and none of them had recorded him. Now, don't get me wrong, as Tom rightly said, there was a lot of prophets at the time. Prophets were quite common, and prophets today are still very common. We have people who, we call them influencers, or we call them celebrities or superstars, or whatever way you want to look at it. False gods, I assume. But you know, they would be considered
to be prophets. We are told to test the spirits, and the only way we can test the spirit is with the authority of the Bible. We can't do it any other way, because who are we? You know, what authority do we have? What authority do you have? What authority do I have? None.
I have authority. I have my own authority, because I don't believe in God.
Yeah.
I don't need the authority of God.
Your authority might be one thing today and another thing tomorrow, but the Bible stands the same all through time. It doesn't change.
Sorry, Tom, what are you trying to say there? Go ahead.
Well, the Bible, okay, again, I'm not an expert, but I've done quite a bit of research into it. A few nuggets of wonderful morality from the Bible. Exodus 21, verse 21 to 25, tells you where you may buy your slaves, how you may own them as your property.
But you can't look back with 2023 glasses at what it was like 2,000 years ago.
No,
it was quite common to have slaves 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, but your other caller there is saying that he gets all of his beliefs from the Bible. It's the unchallenged authority. If a woman doesn't scream loudly enough...
Let Tom respond to firstly what you said there. Sorry, Louis, go ahead. Or Louis, you respond to what Tom said there.
Yeah, I'll just give you a few more ones. The adulterer must be put to death. I don't agree with that. The person who breaks the Sabbath must be put to death. That's absolutely disgusting. If a woman doesn't scream loudly enough when she's being raped, her rapist shall buy her from her father for 50 shekels.
50, I think it was.
If this is where you get your morals for, you should be in prison for the rest of your life. It is a disgusting book. And if it's supposed to be the inerrant word of a God, it shouldn't be open to interpretation. Do you know how many denominations of Christian there are in America? More than 35,000.
Probably 1,500.
There are 35,000, apparently. If this is the word of a God, he should be kicked out on his holy ass. This is absolutely nonsense. He creates universes, and he creates humanity, and he's responsible for everything. And the only way he communicates with is with this disgustingly immoral book, which can be interpreted in any one of 35,000 ways. If he was a real God, he would be on the Late Late Show. He'd be on Graham Norton Show. He would at least turn up at halftime during the All Ireland final. He is invisible.
Hang on, Tom. Just let Louis respond to everything you've said there. I suppose Louis, the book is the main thing Tom has an issue with.
I'd be curious to know when Tom last read the New Testament, because there's a difference between the Old Testament and New Testament.
Christ came
to fulfill the Old Testament. So there's a New Testament and the Old Testament. There's also in the wicked book of the Old Testament, as you might like to portray it, the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not murder. Yeah. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. Thou shalt not bear false witness.
But they were already illegal. I mean, Louis, to be fair, before the Ten Commandments and before the tablets and before Moses stood on top of the hill, most of those things, like coveting your neighbor's wife, murder, were morally wrong. Anyway, people knew that. People knew all those things. Okay, the first few commandments are quite vain, actually. You know, don't listen to other gods, and I'm the one and only God. Hang on, Tom, please. So, Louis, you know, those things that are in the Ten Commandments, generally speaking, were either A, illegal or immoral in the first place at that time in our history.
But they had to be. It had to be stated, because at that time there was people sacrificing their children to Moloch, burning them in the fire. Was that good? Was that right? No. God says no. You shall not murder.
Sorry, Tom.
God murdered absolutely everybody in the Old Testament. He drowned everybody in his famous flood. God is not good for living.
And why did he
do that? God is not good for
living. What's the context? Hang on. What's the context that happened?
Okay, first of all, you're saying to distinguish between the Old Testament and the New Testament. When Jesus came along in the New Testament, he did not criticize his father for getting slavery wrong, for murdering the adulterer, for murdering the person who breaks the Sabbath.
No, he didn't correct any of these things.
He didn't come along. Do you know how much suffering happened in America for 350 years because of the slave trade? Because the slave owners had God on their side. 350 years of slavery, the most vile, apart from the Holocaust, the most disgusting time in our history.
I absolutely agree. And where did the slaves come from? North Africa.
Like slavery. Yeah.
North Africa, from the Muslims in North Africa. That's where it started.
Oh,
they were doing it well before.
It was the very...
Okay, we're kind of going too deep into it. But the point is, I suppose, Louis, you know, there is a huge percentage of the population of the world, although less now than there would have been before, have a belief in God. Ireland, by the way, they
good.
Did...
I'm glad.
Well, okay, but there was research done some while ago on religion around the world. And Ireland, because of, I suppose, all the reports we had in relation to clerical abuse and stuff like that, probably religion was quite badly damaged. And I think also as well, Tom mentioned earlier on, the younger generation now have a lot of education. They can go online and see the answers to the things that would have been attributed to God in the past. So we're seeing a huge drop in the amount of people who believe in a religion in general in Western society. Ireland is the highest drop, by the way. Now, I know people still, 85% of people still put down Catholic on the census, but that's a... because they feel they have to, because they were born Catholic, as I was. So
there's nothing worse than religion.
Well, no, but I mean, the belief in religion, you know, practicing religion in this country is only at something like 50%.
Yeah, that's good in a way, because people, you know, are sorting things out in their own minds, and they've got to at least acquaint themselves with the Bible. Most people haven't a clue what some Christians would call biblically illiterate. If you don't acquaint yourself with a thing, how can you reject it?
Well, I suppose it's the same way as I wouldn't read certain books because other people have told me they're awful. You know what I mean? So,
well, you know, who are they? And are they the oracle? You know, do you... you
okay,
know,
well, hang on. Let me just go to Sean. Sean, hi, how are you?
How you doing, Noel? How are you?
Good. Sean, do you believe in God?
I don't, Noel.
No, okay.
It's pretty interesting that you brought up earlier on. I tried to do away with myself there as well, Noel. About 10 years ago.
I'm glad you didn't, John.
I'm very glad. And the only people that saved me, Noel, was my family as well.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up in a very big family, Noel. My mother was in Letterfrack here and on Golden Bridge, and we were very well educated on you know what religion meant to us, because you know my mother and our brothers and sisters were abused by the Irish, you know, the how would you call it, the priesthood.
Yeah, but you can't blame that. See, here's the thing. You can't...
I'm just
going to say you can't blame, you know, Catholic church abuse on religion. You can blame it on the priests.
No, I get that. Yeah. But I'm getting to that. But, you know, I just want to even factor in there about what happened in Shum as well, Noel. But even leaving that all aside, Noel, I was saying to your researcher Zoe there earlier on, you think about what's happening in the world and it's what's happening around the world. If there was a God, Noel, do you think it would be happening, what's happening in Palestine and in, you know, Israel and in Russia and in Ukraine? Where is the God now, lads? You know, you all seem to be very professional on this and you believe in the God and there is a God. Where is he? Because I tell you one thing, I don't fucking see any God. I really don't. And I'm finding that if you can give me truth here, lads, tonight, that there's a God, well, I'll start praying to him tonight.
I mean, Louis, that's a good question. You know, when we see war and we see people brutally murdering each other, when we see children born with, you know, leukemia or cancer and dying at the age of 2 or 3, you know, or born with a tumour on their brain or whatever it is, what sort of God would do that? And this was mentioned before, of course, with Gay Byrne many, many years ago by Stephen Fry. You know, when he called him, I can't remember the names he called God, but they weren't very nice. What sort of God would do that? And it's not a good enough answer to say God works in mysterious ways. That's not a good answer.
I wouldn't dare say that. Firstly, as regards war, man has free will to sin or to not sin, to war or to wage peace. They're making those choices, whoever those people, whoever those nations are. As regards, you know, people, children who get very seriously affected before...
We're losing your line there, Louis. Just move your head slightly or run up the stairs or something.
Okay, sorry. My child was born 10 days before a normal... It was going to be a normal birth 10 days and she died.
I'm sorry.
I have no explanation for that. I have no explanation for that. But it doesn't stop me believing in God, because you find out a lot about life when people...
But is God not the creator?
Die.
Is it, you know, when you say God is the creator and he's the one who makes the decisions, basically, as to whether you live or die... You know what I mean? That's not free will. It's not free will if a child dies at a stillbirth.
There is, there is
that's not free will.
Sin in the world. There
yeah, but the child,
the
yeah, but the, a child of 5 or 6 days old, for example, who dies of an illness, is not a sinner.
No, they're not a sinner. I'm not saying they're a sinner. I would never dare say such a thing. That would be heresy.
But so why is he? Why is he doing what he's doing then? Like, it's a very simple question. Don't be beating around, you know, the bush here. You're saying that you believe in God, and God, and I am very sorry to hear what happened to you. And there's some awful things that are happening to my in their lives there as well the last few years. But, you know, I didn't go to a church and said, ah, Jesus, give us a break here, because there's no point. And I tell you one thing, if I had my way, I wouldn't have been even going to a funeral. We should have our own thing that we should have done. And look,
okay, can I ask you a question, Sean, just to move away from that particular point, because we'll go around in circles on it all night. In relation to the world around us, the planet we live on, you know, the galaxies, the universe, the solar system, everything that's out there. We've explained quite a lot of it, but we haven't explained everything. There's always that question, well, where did that come from? Or where did that come from?
Well, I believe we came from bacteria, you know. And,
okay, so who? So then the argument is, by people who believe in God, is where did the bacteria come from?
I'm definitely not going to believe and start reading a book. And believe in all what you believe.
No, okay, well, that's fine. Forget about the book for the moment. Forget about even God, right? I'm asking you. So if we all came from, as you say, bacteria, well, we kind of evolved to a combination of different things. Well, but if we believe that's true, right, those ingredients that made that happen, where do they all come from?
I don't know, Noel. Again, there's no way of knowing. You know, same way, there's no way of knowing there's a God, because, like, you know, and isn't it funny, Noel, there's so many gods. There's only one Santi. There's one for you. There's one Santi that
don't
everybody
can
believes
you, can
in.
Can we not talk about... Don't talk about Santi, all right? Don't bring him into this conversation.
There's one. Yeah, but it's just one.
Lads, okay, it's after 9 o'clock at night. Children shouldn't be listening. Can I just say, please, if there's children listening, turn off the little ears, right? But don't be talking about Santi, because it's like the golden rule of radio, right? So just, we can talk about anything you like, but not Santa Claus. Not in a serious conversation, all right? It's just a moral thing I have in my head. Sorry. Okay. So, because I don't want to be responsible for damaging Christmas for anybody. But Sean, what I'm trying to say to you is, and this is the point Richard Dawkins made, is the very famous atheist, when he said you can't rule out the existence of God. Yes, we've answered a lot of questions that would have been attributed to God many, many years ago. But we're still in a situation where we don't. Okay, so the Big Bang happened. And even seemingly the Vatican accepts that, right? I'm unsure as to why they do, because what they believe doesn't really work well around that. But let's say they do. Yeah. What happened before the Big Bang? What was there?
I hear you, Noel. And that's the thing. This is why I don't believe in God, because it's all hearsay. It's all.
But is that not a reason to believe in an entity of some description, that are superpower? Because it had to all come from somewhere.
Of course, of course, we came from, you know, something happened. Something had to happen for us to be here today, talking tonight. But I don't believe it was God, you know, I really don't.
Okay, we'll stay there for a second, Tom, Louis and Sean. I want to go to Niamh if I can. Niamh, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niamh, how are you?
Happy birthday to you, Niamh.
Thank you very much.
I was just informed. That's just Jane messing. Don't mind her. Jane, are you finished playing? She's finished playing now. Niamh, do you believe in God?
I believe in something. I don't know if it's it's not the, you know, the man in the sky with the thing. I would like to believe there is something there. I don't believe in the church anymore. But I'd love to believe that we go somewhere. It's just too much for my brain to comprehend that it's just nothing. So I think it's a comfort more than anything to believe. I don't pray. I don't, you know, I don't go to mass. I don't do any of that. But I would like to believe that there is something. And I just, you know, I think if you just try and be a decent person. If there is
why would you like? I'm interested in this whole idea, and this is what I said to Louis when he came on first. Why do people believe in God? Is it out of faith? Is it out of fear? Is it out of hope? So why do you believe there has to be something? Is it because somebody had people that you know have died, and you like to think you'd meet them again someday, or is there a fear and hedging your bets?
Yeah, it's hedging my bets. Yeah, no, it definitely is hedging my bets. I think it's very sad to think that you just close your eyes and then it's, you know.
Why is it sad? What happened? Okay, let me ask you a question. What happened before you were born? Can you remember before you were born?
I know that. My logical brain knows that. But I think when you go through life and you have so many people that you love and that you care about deeply, your parents or whoever goes before you, I think it's a comfort. And maybe that's just something that as humans, because we're, you know, we're basically weak. Do you know what I mean? We have to sort of have something to cling to. And I think that's why so many people cling to a religion or a higher power. It doesn't have to be religious-based. It can be
Is that not suggesting, you know, and I'll put this to Tom as well, actually. Is that not suggesting that people believe in God because they believe the world owes them something? Sorry, Tom. Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
I think what that lady is saying is probably a very, very human thing. We want to believe that we'll meet our parents and our grandparents and our friends again, but there's no evidence at all to suggest that. It's a soother. It's something that makes people feel good, and it makes people feel that they can explain something that...
But we do believe life owes us something, don't we?
No, it doesn't.
I'm just saying, I think a lot of people do. They believe that, that can't be it, like just 80 years and then I'm gone and close my eyes and it's all over.
We've been told that for years.
Yes, but that doesn't mean it's true.
No. But that's what I mean. It's like what Niall was saying, like we believe life owes us something. We only believe it because it's drilled into us from birth.
It's like the other thing that I'd said not to mention his name. The other thing. You believe in that too for a percentage of your life until you're told it's not true. And you really believe in it. So what I'm saying is...
Everyone believes in the tooth fairy for a while.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Tom.
Comforting beliefs.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, but again, it's after 9 o'clock. I'm warning people not to have children listening at this time of the night. We do believe in things that we're told. That's what they call indoctrination. Louis will accept that too, as a religious man too, that we have indoctrination.
No, I would not, because I've made the choice myself. I did not grow up in any kind of dominant religious circumstance. I chose not to follow all that.
Most of us did, Louis.
When I was 8. I know, that's okay. I became a Christian when I was 18. When I realized that I was a sinner and I needed God's grace. And so that's when it started for me. I wasn't pushed down my throat. I chose it.
Yeah, but when you were born, from the moment you were born, Louis, a God existed in this world and people talked about him. That may well be so,
but I didn't believe any of it till I was 18. Mm. I didn't go to any kind of religious process at school or church or anything.
So
in a different one if you were born in Afghanistan, or if you were born in Saudi Arabia, or if you were born in Thailand.
Well, I'm talking about as an Irish Christian person. I was asked the question, Tom, so I'm answering as an Irish Christian.
Okay.
Don't throw red herrings in, please.
Yeah. But it is a true point, Louis. It's geographical. Depending on where you're born depends on the God you believe in.
Well, not so, because
Jesus
was born in Galilee. And Jesus is believed all around the world, in China, in Japan.
Absolutely, but generally speaking, you're born in India, you're a Hindu, you're born in Afghanistan, you're Muslim.
The Apostle Thomas went to India and preached the gospel just after Christ. You ask any Christian from
I'm Korea, talking about the majority of people who are born in those countries, believe in a certain God.
That's true, the majority,
So what, if you believe in a God or something, spiritually or whatever it happens to be, and you fail to, or you don't understand the idea of closing your eyes when you die and that's the end of it, like before you were born, what do you believe happens? Do you think you go off to like heaven or a place like that, or you're reborn, or what do you think happens? What would you like to think happens?
I'd love if reincarnation was a thing.
Okay.
I'd like that because, you know, I'd like another go. You know, that sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. Can I come back as Elon Musk?
Yeah, can I come back as one of the Kardashians, please? I think it's so mind-blowing because the idea of eternity is something we can't get our heads around because life for us is finite. It ends.
Yeah.
But if you're to believe, you know, somebody says you go to heaven and then how long do I stay there for? And so forever and ever. Now, forever and ever to us is 80 odd years. That's how long we live.
Mm.
But this is like It's really hard to get your mind around. I think that's why so many people struggle with it, because we've no concept of what goes on, because no one has ever come and told us. So we've no concept of what's going on after we die. Perhaps there is nothing. And I don't know. I won't find out until, please God, a long time. But they see now, there you go. There's a hypocrisy, please God. And I just said, I don't believe. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, you'll be in good company if you head off to heaven, because judging from when we estimate human beings either evolved or came about on this planet. Yeah, 109 billion, roughly. So there's quite a lot of people that have gone before you. 109 billion people.
Oh, there's no housing crisis up there. God.
There would be an economy.
Niall.
Yes, Louis.
Niall, we all have the chance to have a second go, Niamh. If we decide to just say that we're sinners and read the Bible, see where it goes. Acquaint yourself with it and see where it goes. Mm. Don't be afraid to read it. There's so many people afraid of the Bible. It's like a bomb. It's a truth bomb.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest, Louis. I've read excerpts from the Bible because I've done the show and I've talked about different aspects of it, etc., throughout time, you know, from different topics that we've been talking about. But I've never read the Bible.
If I may ask now, what parts, like the Gospels?
Well, I think when the Bible was quoted the most on this radio station was probably during the marriage equality referendum.
So all right.
That was probably the most amount of quotations we got from the Bible on a regular basis.
Probably out of context, but anyway, go
probably,
on.
Probably. Let me go to Fiona as well. Fiona, hi, how are you?
Good evening, Niall. I'm very good.
Good. Fiona, do you believe in God?
I absolutely do.
Okay. Which God do you believe in? Is it the one that we imagine?
Again, here we go. No, I'm not here to offend anyone, but in my opinion, my true God is our creator, mm-hmm. which is what I was brought up to believe. And I truly believe that he sent his son to save us. Mm-hmm. And people might mock and say, why don't God come down and go to the soccer games? And why don't he go here, there and everywhere? He can't mix with evil. And there's a lot of evil down here. So he sent his son to save us. And that's it in my context anyway.
And do you think he'll send
the most beautiful woman, who, let's be fair, and I would consider myself kind of a tough woman, I wouldn't have taken on her burden of taking on the world, of everyone laughing at her because she was pregnant and she was saying she was a virgin. And all she went through. To bring it to today's, no, bring it to today's thing. Would I do that? Not a hope. I love God, but I would be ashamed to say, oh, I can't tell anyone I'm having God's child. Who would believe me? And then she had to watch us as well tear her son her son to pieces.
Louis and Tom, one of them will correct me on this, but again, something that I read many, many years ago. The Bible was originally written in what language, Louis? Aramaic, was it?
Aramaic. It would be Aramaic, yeah.
Yeah, and the translation of the Virgin Mary, the virgin birth, wasn't there controversy over the fact that it was translated incorrectly? And that actually the word that was used, the Aramaic word, for wasn't actually virgin, it was beautiful or something like that. So wasn't there controversy? Beautiful maid or whatever it was.
If you look at the prophecies in the Old Testament about the birth of Christ and about the death of Christ, Isaiah 53, it predicts the birth of the death of Christ 1,500 years before it happened exactly. Go and read it, Isaiah 53. Mm. But there's aspects talking in the Psalms, exactly as that lady said, about the virgin birth, like 1,500 years before it happened. So I don't think translations of words and all this kind of thing really cut the deal.
Okay, I just remember reading that the translation was incorrect. Sorry, Tom, you want to say something there?
Oh, I can't have a train of thought lost.
But Louis, go back to what I said to Tom earlier on, and I don't try to disprove what Fiona's saying, and I respect, but I don't have to respect religion, but I do respect people's belief in religion, and I respect, Fiona, your belief in religion, and Eve and yours, Louis, too. But Louis, the story of Jesus Christ, you know, a man who was born on the 25th of December with 12 apostles, died, came back 3 days later, born of a virgin birth. That story has been used long before Jesus Christ came along by other religions. Exactly the same story, the same date, the 12 apostles, even the God of Krishna used exactly the same story.
I remember you saying that earlier. Listen, there's nothing in the Bible saying that Jesus was born on December 25th.
It's allegedly June, according to historians, or people who have studied the Bible.
Regardless of historians, there's no exact date. either in the Old Testament or the New Testament as when Jesus.
Okay, but the rest of the story, born of a virgin birth, died, came back 3 days later, was crucified. Those with slight variations of the story, but that particular story has been told many times long before the birth of Christ.
And I can name a bunch of
the Holy Land to prove it.
To hear them. Yeah.
What about Corinth, the Holy Land, where there is actually murder at the moment?
Okay.
Dionysus.
Sorry,
these were gods that were worshipped for millennia before Jesus came along. They were born of a virgin. They had 12 disciples. They were born on the 25th of December. They were resurrected. They performed miracles. They were crucified. They were called the King of Kings, and their names, some of them were Horus, Apis, Krishna, Dionysus, Mithra, Zeus, Horus, Odin, Attis,
okay, and
Indra.
Did they die for sin? No, they didn't.
And they were resurrected.
There is proof that Jesus Christ was on the earth.
The proof we have, Fiona, is the Bible.
The issue I have
outside of the Bible, there is artifacts to back that up as well. And there's lots of the Vatican probably hide as well, for whatever reasons, because we are, as you say, Niall, we will never know the bigger picture until we die. But I know for a fact, I hope, and I would pray, I'm going up to a good place, because there's a lot of evil down here. And all I can see down here at the moment is huge attack on mankind itself. We're eating each other nearly. It's unnatural what's going on.
Absolutely. And what do you both think, Louis and Fiona? What do you think?
Candles.
Okay. Well, okay, both of you, you know, in relation to the history of the word God, a lot of people believe it was a time when people questioned things. For the first time, man had become reasonably logical and started to question why the plants grew, because the sun, of course, would make the plants grow. And that's where they said the wording seemingly came from the Son of Good, which is the Son of God. The 12 apostles
and if you
were the 12.
To evil, it's the devil.
Okay.
A simple word, I get all that.
Absolutely. And Louis, you know, the idea of 12 apostles from most religions, they believe came out of the 12 constellations of the stars. Because in those days, of course, that's all they did was look at the stars. Quite a lot, probably, because they had very little else to do. They didn't have Netflix. So they looked at the 12 constellations of the stars. And, you know, and basically they talked about, the good and the bad would be night and day, or when the harvest grew, which would be good, and evil, which was when it didn't grow, of course, during the winter months when it was darker. What do you make of all those theories that this is the origins of God? It was just a time of confusion and a time of lack of understanding as to where things came from. And people just attributed it to what they called good, which was then abbreviated to God.
Well, that was then, this is now. In those days, of course, you had the Romans who were crucifying people, not only Jesus, but lots of others left, right, and centre.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was their way of justice in those days.
Why did the Romans throw the Christians to the lions in their thousands? Why were thousands martyred? Because they were a power that the Roman emperors were afraid of.
No, I'm not disagreeing with all of that. I mean, there was different ways of, doling out justice in those days. And obviously you'd ask the same question as why did Hitler kill 6 million Jews? But what I'm saying to you is, like when we look back in time, it was a horrendous time to live by today's standards, the way people were treated, the way Christians were thrown to the lions, as you mentioned, the way people were crucified. You know, although some countries still sentence people to death. But in saying that, The question I'm asking you is the origins of religion in itself. A lot of scientists or speculators have speculated it comes from those things that I just explained to you, that people would look to the sky for answers. And the answers were the Son of Good.
And you also have the so-called three wise men, but there was actually more, that came from Iraq or Iran following a star to Jesus. That's a mystery. I can't answer it, but it's interesting. Not the main point.
I say, God would have never originated in the Dáil in Ireland because you wouldn't find three wise men in there.
No, we'd have seven exorcism first up there.
Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. Now, Maureen, before we start, you're a good friend of the show and a good friend of my podcast as well, so I don't want to insult you in any shape or form, so please don't be offended by anything I say because you know I'm an atheist.
I know you don't offend intentionally.
I do respect your belief in God. I don't have to respect the God, but I respect your belief in a God. So, Maureen, why do you believe in God? Why do you believe in God?
Why do I believe in God? Well, I just take a look, for example, take a look at human beings. Look at how we're made. There, who else, only, for me, God, could create such beings, could create such beauty, could create and provide on this earth everything we need, contrary to what they're trying to tell us that we don't need. Right, and that's for another day. You know what I'm going with that.
Yeah.
The nonsense they're talking about.
Yeah.
That's why I believe in God. And of course, well, I was brought up on, you know, learned religion.
Yeah, the catechism. Catechism.
My catechism, yeah. But I've always believed in God. And I will continue to believe in God.
And has God ever let you down? Has God let you down?
Well, God doesn't let me down. I would pray for things that I will need. Now, he has answered prayers. There's no doubt about that. But things I'll ask for, he may not give me what I ask for, but he'll give me something else.
If God is a good person, and you're a good person, I believe, Maureen, because I've talked to you many times, I believe you're a good person. Why do you think God did things to you throughout your life that made you unhappy?
Well, he didn't do things to me. I did them myself through my own free will. He didn't do them to me. But when I came back, spoke to him, then you know you'll notice things changing.
Mm-hmm.
But God does. He doesn't give us everything we ask for, Niall. He gives us what we need and what he knows we need. So I might pray for something. I may not get that, but I would get something else. And I'd go, oh, well, that's better maybe than what I prayed for. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, that's how I get on, and I do that every day, and I talk to him every day. So mm-hmm. We have a little conversation every day. And what do you do in your
conversation with God? What do you do? What do you say? I mean, obviously you don't get answered. Well, you do, I suppose. Your faith answers you.
I do.
But what do you say?
Well, for example, we'll say a beautiful day, and I'm out and about, and I might go for a walk, or I might go for a cycle on the bike, and I'm admiring beauty, and I say, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful world that you have given to us.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm in a general conversation, I may say something will go right for me, and I'll say, you know, thank you, Lord, you know, for that. Or if I'm going on a journey, I'd ask him to keep me safe and everybody who's traveling with me, I would get to our destination. You know, little things.
Yeah.
Like I would talk to my earthly father, God rest him, if he was here.
Yeah.
That's how I would talk to him. That is also a form of prayer as well.
And what do you say to people
who, closest,
who don't believe in God, who believe that it's all just a supernatural story? What do you say? Do you believe those people are missing out on something? Do you think, use me as an example. Don't worry, I don't get offended. Do you think I'm missing out on something?
Well, I do. But again, you see,
what am I missing out on?
I can't force my belief.
No, I know, and you never will, and I won't force mine on you.
We can't do that.
Okay, so what do you think as a non-believer? What am I missing out on? What do you think I'm missing out on?
What can I say? You're missing out. I know you're quite a happy person. You know, you seem to.
I have good morals, I think.
Good morals. But I think that if you did believe in God, Niall, that eventually you would see the benefit of it.
Mm.
That's all I can say to you, because...
Will it give me more hope? Will it give me better hope?
And of course, you know, like the day that I'm called from this earth, I do hope to get to heaven. Hope to get there. There's no guarantee any of us are going to get there.
Yeah. What was the song by AC/DC? What was that song by AC/DC? Hell ain't a bad place to be.
Yeah, there isn't either, because there's purgatory and there's hell. And even though they're trying to do away with these, with hell.
I thought they did away with purgatory. Limbo was done away with, wasn't it?
No, limbo exists. They had no right. No pope can change the dogma.
Remind me the story. But didn't one of the popes do away with something?
They did limbo.
Limbo. So
they have no authority.
Explain to me what limbo. Explain to me, because I'm a bit confused.
Limbo.
Limbo is a baby.
Limbo is a baby that dies without
being baptized. Oh, okay.
But this baby doesn't go to hell.
It goes to limbo.
But this baby also doesn't go directly to heaven. It goes. We are told that it goes to a beautiful, wonderful place. What this baby does, it doesn't behold the beatific vision, which is the face of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, none of us know what's going to happen at the end of the world, at the resurrection, when we all resurrect again. That possibly will be all changed. And those little babies will then behold the beatific vision. But you see, no Pope, this is what is wrong. They're trying to change the dogma of the church. Even look at Francis, the way he's carrying on. I tell you something, Niall. For the third year in a row, I'm in a battle down here with my church. They have no manger in the church down here this Christmas again.
Why?
Because
it's quite traditional to have a manger, isn't it? Why would they? Yeah, it's very traditional to have a manger.
They did away with it when the convent.
My mother used to have a manger. Yeah, my mother used to have a manger on the coffee table at Christmas.
They did away with it when that was on.
Yeah.
Because people would be gathering. That's what the Monsignor at the time told me. He's moved now, and that was 3 years ago.
Mm.
So anyway, they put the statues of Our Lady and St. Joseph and baby Jesus in front of the altar. And I caught one of the priests last year and I asked him where the manger was. And he said, we have a manger. I said, no, I said, you haven't. I said, you have statues in front of the altar. I said, Christ wasn't born among gold and silver. He was born in a dirty, filthy stable.
Yeah.
So I fought for the manger again this year. So I met another lad and he was trying to get the manger. So we were told, we're having no manger again this year. We're having no carol service.
Right.
And we're having no Bambino Sunday.
Well, that's,
and also in November...
They seem to be abandoning the whole traditions of Christmas there, don't they?
Yeah, we always have a little... on the altar rails, we would have a little...
See, I love all... Now, here's the thing, Maureen. I'm not religious, right?
I do too.
But I love all that stuff because I think it's quite traditional. I love the tradition of Christmas, by the way. Maybe call me a hypocrite if you want to.
I'm glad I got the chance to be able to say it because I hope that the people in Clonakilty are listening because I'm in a running battle with them. I'm already after emailing Bishop Gavin and the Primate of All-Ireland, Eamon Martin...
Yeah.
And I swore to him, I'd get this to the Vatican if I have to. So I'm in a battle with them here. They will not bring back the manger. And we had, for the month of the Holy Souls, we used to have a little tree, a little stand on the altar rails. And you know the little tags that you'd write on?
Yeah.
So people would write the names of their loved ones on the tags and, you know, just put them on the little tree. They didn't have that in November either. So that's done away with.
Right. And why don't you send them a letter? You know what? I always believe the old letter is better than an email. They can ignore an email very quickly. A letter to the Bishop's Palace. Where is it in Dublin there on, what's the name of that street?
Yeah.
Off Dorset Street there in Dublin.
Yeah, but you see, if I was in Cork City, like if I can get to Cork, I just walk up to Vinton Gavin's house anyway.
Oh, right, okay.
You see, it was simple as that.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the Primate. You know? I'm talking about Eamon Martin.
Primate, yeah.
Where does he live? He lives in the Bishop's Palace, doesn't he?
He does, yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's in Dublin, just off Dorset Street there. Big place.
But then again, but the thing about it is saying that nobody else is, nobody else is complaining about this. And there's nobody in this town will come on and help me.
But that's because, the problem is, Maureen, for you, the problem is, the people that have a belief or care about stuff like that, generally speaking, and I care about it actually, but the people who do care about stuff like that, are generally older people who couldn't be bothered. Because younger people now don't really have the same interest in religion that you have. You know what I mean? That's the problem,
isn't it? But I tell you, the children miss the crib, the manger.
Mm.
Because the children look for it. But it's just, I think they got too lackadaisical and they just couldn't be bothered. They just place the statues in front of the altar. But they have a Christmas tree, though.
Mm-hmm.
Which we never had in churches either, going back years ago, was Christmas trees.
Getting back to God himself, right? I mean, what do you say to people who say there's no proof that he exists? And there isn't really any physical proof he exists. I mean, you couldn't prove in a court of law tomorrow beyond a reasonable doubt that God exists. No more than I could prove that he doesn't exist, by the way. But you couldn't prove that, and you're the one, well, not you personally, but religious people are the ones making the claim. So it's up to, it's what I often hear people saying, you know, if I say, well, prove God exists, they go, prove he doesn't. That's not the way it works. The way it works is the person who makes the claim must provide the proof. That's the way the world works. So when people make a claim that a god, no matter what god it is, a Hindu god, a Buddha god, a Christian god, Islamic god, whatever god it happens to be, and they make a claim that the god exists, I say, well, prove it. But there is no way of proving it.
Well, I'll just use, well, I would use the resurrection.
But that's not proof. That's only in a book.
Yeah, the resurrection has been proved. No doubt about that.
No, it hasn't been proved. Maureen.
Oh, it has. It has.
What's the proof of the resurrection?
I'll tell you, there was back in through the Holy Land, Israeli scientists, this is going back a few years ago, you might have heard about it, Niall.
I watched a documentary about it one night, about where they believe Jesus was buried, yeah.
No, but the nail found and the DNA from the nail.
But they don't...
And it only carries one
but they can't,
set of DNA
but they can't.
Mary.
They can't prove that is belong to a person called Jesus Christ. I was watching the, I watched the documentary and about where they believe he was buried, and there was these two lads following a trail and all this. It was an interesting documentary, by the way. It kind of very historical. It was on the History Channel or something like that. But in saying that, they couldn't actually prove. They did find nails, and they did find, you know, what resembled timber left from a crucifix. But the thing about it is, a lot of people were crucified. It was quite common for people to be crucified.
They were.
Yeah.
But also, we Catholics now believe in prophecy. And we believe in Our Lady, which is Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of La Salette, Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Iquita, Our Lady of Trefontaine. We believe in all these prophecies. Look how many people saw what was called the Miracle of the Sun in Fatima in 1917. Over 150,000 people saw that.
Mm-hmm.
So
And scientists will give a very good explanation for what it was or what they saw.
Of course they will.
Because I watched a video one night. I watched a video one night, and it was a heap of people down in Knock, and they were all staring up at the clouds, right? And then one of them turned around and said, "There she is, there she is, there she is." And they all, "Oh my God, there she is." And they were all seeing it. And I'm looking at this video going, "I can't see anything at all. What are they talking about?" All I can see is the sun coming through the cloud. You know the way sun sometimes breaks through the cloud if the cloud is thin.
Yes.
And I don't know, maybe it looked like a shape of something. I don't know. But
maybe.
But that's just an optical illusion, or and scientists would say, okay, so they all saw the same optical illusion. That's just, so there's an answer for what I'm trying to say is, Maureen, I'm not denying that happened, but there is a scientific answer usually for everything, isn't there?
Well, scientists do. They will come up with an answer for everything, but at the same time, I do firmly believe it. Take a look at creation. Take a look at us human beings, for example.
Mm.
How complex we are.
Oh, unbelievably complex.
Who could
Absolutely.
Have created such complex...
Well, my answer to that is we evolved. We weren't always that complex when we first existed, for example, and we ran out of the caves pulling our wives by the hair and running after, you know, I don't know, animals to kill them.
Either.
We weren't that complicated then. We weren't as clever then. We couldn't speak. We couldn't hear properly. You know, we didn't walk properly on two legs. We kind of crouched over a little bit. So we've evolved.
But wait a minute.
And we're still evolving. We're still evolving.
Who can prove that?
Well, evolution.
But you see, again, if we're going down the scientific road, where's the evidence?
Well,
where is the evidence that people live like that? Where is the, you know,
they found
the Neolithics.
Yeah, but they have found remains. Anthropologists have found remains of men or Neanderthals or the first, well, actually, they believe the first human being to stand on two legs was actually a woman in Africa, most likely black. So the anthropologists have, you know, found these things. They found the drawings in caves. So, you know, of people and how they existed and how they lived. So these are all factual things. They found these things. They do exist.
They found them, yeah, but that doesn't mean to say what they found and told us were a fact.
Mm.
You see, I'm going down another road again. A lot of this stuff I do question myself, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
From 2-3 million years ago, I do question it. And I do think that sometimes they just...
Sometimes they get
together.
It wrong. Yeah, they do get it wrong.
Together just to cover the story that they're trying to tell or say what they found.
Mm.
That's my outlook on it. But for me, God exists. His mother exists. The saints in heaven exist. And that's it. And nobody will change my mind. The only thing is I hope that I'm going, the elevator is going all the way to the top.
Yeah.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.